Live from WGCU News, I'm John Davis. This week, we pay homage to the late photographer Charlie McCullough. A retrospective exhibition of his work opened this week at Tower Gallery on Sanibel Island, and the Community House on Sanibel will host a screening of a documentary about McCullough and his work, titled Postcards and Photos from Sanibel, the sequel, on March 19th. That got News Press storyteller Amy Bennett-Williams thinking about a particular photograph of McCullough's that she'd kept for years. His striking black-and-white photographs offer a window into Sanibel Island's history and its residents in the years prior to the construction of the Sanibel Causeway Bridge, as she tells us in this week's essay.
For years, I kept a Charlie McCullough photograph over my desk. Desks, actually. The thing had been moved from walls and bulletin boards so many times its edges were curled and its backside was brailed with old tack holes. Somewhere along the line, it finally disappeared. Probably it slipped down into one of those cubicle voids that will prove rich, if incidental, middens for future cultural anthropologists. In any case, I haven't seen the image in years, though my memory of it is vivid and most recently sparked by word of an upcoming retrospective of the late Sanibel photographer's work. I had looked at Charlie's photo on countless occasions, just glances usually. It was sort of a tacked-up touchstone, something my gaze would fall on as I tucked my lunch under my desk in the morning, as I rooted in a drawer for change, as I talked distractedly to faraway PR flacks, as I looked up from my keyboard in search of a word, that weird circular sweep of gaze peculiar to writers. If we just look around hard enough, maybe we'll find that adjective. In the middle of these moments, there was Charlie's photo, plain and lovely. As I recall, it was taken in a small Sanibel bedroom long before the island was bridged. There's a single bed on the wood floor, whitewashed walls, a window open to calm water below, a pale curtain, an old-fashioned tin space heater. Yet as I remember these details, I realize I couldn't swear to any of them, except the space heater. I'm not even certain it's a single bed. Was the curtain moving slightly in the breeze? Was there a bleached whelk shell on the nightstand? A glass of water? Maybe the room was wallpapered. Maybe the floors were faded formica. They could have been, for all I know. Charlie's home, built in 1908 on Woodrings Point, was known as the Clubhouse. For years, it served as a fishing getaway for his Cincinnati Seed Company family and a group of friends who all owned it together. The times that place must have seen. Charlie used to talk about renovating an old closet wall and finding Prohibition-era bottles stashed inside. Starting when he was a kid, whenever he visited Sanibel, Charlie would take pictures of the island and its characters. Fishing guide Esperanza Woodring pulling biscuits from a wood stove, afternoon cumulus swelling over the lighthouse, the view from the ferry. Eventually, the McCullough family bought out the others, and I'm pretty sure Charlie took the photo right there in the clubhouse. Pretty sure I may even have stood in the bedroom in question when I'd visited him a time or two, but I couldn't say for sure. I don't think, at least I don't care to think, that my fuzziness about the details is evidence of fifth-decade memory loss. After all, I'm supposed to be a competent observer. It's how I make my living. Now, I think the fact that I'm left with little certainty, yet an overwhelmingly vivid recollection, is testament to the photo's evocative power. Charlie's photograph reveals a world and a time to which I have no claim. My first trip to the island came long after the causeway, the golf courses, the traffic. But his image gave me visual purchase, and from that, I realize I've filled in the blanks on my own. It was a warm, late winter day. The house was empty. The rest of the family was fishing Tarpon Bay. Even now, when I can't recall the particulars, the strength of the impression of that photo can still make me catch my breath. Otherwise, how could I be so certain that it was a fine, still morning, that there was a breeze, that it carried the scent of low tide, the sound of a rooster crowing over at the Woodring place? Someday, it would be interesting to compare what I remember with the real thing. But even if it turns out I'm dead wrong about the particulars, it hardly matters. I have my memories.